Kellogg, Brother and Sister, J.H. Geelong, Victoria, Australia, March 10, 1900. Dear Brother and Sister Kellogg, we left Kooranbong Wednesday morning, tarried at Summer Hill for a few hours, and then took the cars for Melbourne. At 7 p.m. we were nicely located in a sleeper for the night, but I was unable to sleep. The night before, I had not been able to rest. My mind was strangely impressed that I must soon visit America. I said, "No, no, it cannot be." But I could not rest, for when about to fall asleep, I would again be impressed that I must go to America. Thus the conflict went on in my mind during the entire night. I passed through a similar experience during the night I spent on the cars. How the matter will end, I do not know. I do not choose to go to America, yet if the Lord wills for me to go, I shall cheerfully submit. But can it be my duty to leave this field before a sanitarium is established? I may have to do this. It galls my soul to think that, though I have presented our necessities to the managers of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, the money that should have been used to provide this field with facilities has been absorbed in various other enterprises. The Lord instructed me that I had a right, as His steward, to call for means from the Battle Creek Sanitarium to establish a sanitarium in Australia. Such an institution is greatly needed in this country, and would accomplish far more than an institution of the same kind would accomplish in America. Light has been given me that the money which should have been used to establish this institution has been used in the work in Chicago. This was not a right disposition of the money. Dr. Kellogg has established institutions and carried on a work which has consumed so much of the available means in one spot of the Lord's vineyard, while other portions of the vineyard have been left without enough to make a beginning. This is a misconception of the mind and will of God. So much money should not have been absorbed in erecting buildings in one locality, but should have been used in carrying forward aggressive work in other parts of the field. We do not propose to fold our hands and let things proceed as they have done in the past. I shall, as I am instructed by the Lord, present before our people the work done in Chicago, and shall teach them that this is a work which absorbs means and talent that should be used in carrying forward aggressive warfare in new territory. I pray that the Lord will give our people an understanding of how to work according to His word, how to unite in proclaiming the third angel's message to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples. Our people are losing their knowledge of what constitutes the last message of mercy to be given to our world. If the institutions established are to be conducted, as is stated, on the undenominational plan, what have Seventh-day Adventists to do with this work? Seventh-day Adventists have a special work to do in building sanitariums in our world as necessity demands. These buildings are to be small or large as is appropriate to the situation and the surrounding circumstances. Our work is to be aggressive and is to belt the world. But Satan is at work, and he says, "I will arrange matters in such a way that the medical missionary work shall serve my ends. I will give those engaged in this work plenty to do. Their means shall be consumed by my synagogue. I will use them so that they will be consumers, but not producers. Through them I shall work to hedge up the way of God's work." Thus the enemy is working. Dr. Kellogg cannot see afar off. He has not a realization of the means he has sunk in his work in America in order to consummate his plans. And to do what? To eclipse the very work God had given his people to do. Quite a long time ago, Dr. Kellogg was represented to me as riding on a proud horse, carrying a banner in his hand. He was represented as a general, setting men and women at work in an enterprise which would cause them to lose sight of the great work of preparing a people to stand in the day of the Lord. The Lord has not given Dr. Kellogg the work he has been doing. I saw the mighty general of armies inspecting the banner Dr. Kellogg carried, saying to him at the same time, "Who placed that banner in your hand? You are misleading the forces of my army. Your trumpet is giving an uncertain sound. You are neglecting the very work God has given you to do. The money that should have been used for the relief of fields destitute of light and knowledge, you have used in wrong channels. Foreign fields in need of this means are sending their petitions to me for help. Memorials for the Lord should be established in centers outside of America. You have largely absorbed in your work the money that would have enabled missionaries to set my work in operation in fields that are ripe for the harvest. The work you have done has hindered the work of sending the message of warning to foreign fields. It has exalted the name of Dr. Kellogg, but not the name of the Lord God of heaven. The third angel's message is virtually ignored by you. You have belittled the work of the gospel ministry, while you have made the medical missionary work disproportionately important. You have weakened where you should have strengthened. You would bear no restriction. You were determined, if you could, to set in operation the work you had planned. But this work God has never given you to do. The gospel is to go to all peoples, nations, and tongues, but for years you have been blocking the way. The necessities of the cause of God have been kept before you, but this has not kept you from your ambitious devising. The mind that God would have used to his name's glory has considered only one corner of the vineyard. You have worked for a class which can only be consumers. In all parts of the world there are fields ready for harvest, and in these fields are men and women of talent whom God could use in his work. But this work has been kept back for want of means, while you have been absorbing thousands and thousands of dollars in a work of your own planning, the result of which has been to confuse minds as to what constitutes the work to be done in these last days. You have not carried the right burden. You have not lifted the banner on which is inscribed the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 12. The work of the people of God is to enlighten the world in accordance with the directions given in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Here is presented the plan of work which is to be carried on in every place where the truth takes hold of minds and hearts. In connection with the proclamation of the message is to be done the work of relieving families who are in distress. Those who take their position on the Lord's side are to see in Seventh-day Adventists a warm-hearted, self-denying, self-sacrificing people who cheerfully and gladly minister to the needy. Especially are those who suffer because they have had moral courage to accept the truth to be helped. Those who are cast out are to receive attention. But the work of providing for all depraved, all the drunkards, and all the prostitutes has not and never will be given by the Lord to Seventh-day Adventists. In this country, in every place where the tent has been pitched and meetings held, we have seen souls truly converted. Men have given up tobacco and liquor and have united with the commandment-keeping people of God, giving in their lives the evidence of genuine conversion. We have done all that we could for these new converts, but could we have had some of the money that has been used in America, we would have been able to do much more than we have done. Our lack of means has prevented us from doing much that we might have done. In building our school and health retreat, we were not able to pay our workmen, but had to put them off for some time. What kind of an impression is made on these men when they see that we are not able to pay for work that must be done? In Dora Creek and Martinsville, villages some miles from Kurenbong, the people are waiting for us to build a humble meeting house where they can assemble to worship God. We have been working in Dora Creek for some time, and quite a number have accepted the truth. Many of these need someone to teach them how to work. Others work hard and are taxed to the utmost of their ability to support their families. In the places around us, we find just the missionary work the Lord has given us to do. As the people give up tobacco, liquor, tea, and coffee, they need help, and we help them all we can. In many instances, we have found them work to do and have clothed their children until they were able to do this. Then, when once established, they go to work to help others. I have placed my books, and also Daniel and the Revelation, which is highly appreciated in this country, in many families. Thus, many souls have been brought to a knowledge of the truth. People who have never yet seen the living messenger are keeping the Sabbath. This is the missionary work that we see to be done in all parts of the field.
But by some in America, money is lavishly distributed among those who have no interest in the truth, and who never will have. The message for this time is smothered, and has no special power to convert men and women to the truth. God calls for a change of sentiment among our people in America. At our camp meetings, the time is not to be consumed in calling attention to that which is called medical missionary work, but which is not the work for this time. God has given directions that sanitariums ought to be established in different places. These institutions are to be His agencies for reaching a class of people that nothing else will reach. In these instrumentalities, the light of truth is to burn brightly. The money earned by these institutions is to be used in establishing similar institutions in other parts of the world. To those who suppose that the Lord has given them the work of caring for the promiscuous mass of outcasts who have ruined themselves, many of whom will continue to do as they have done in the past, at the same time subsisting on means given them by Seventh-day Adventists, the Lord says, "Who gave you this work?" There are peoples and nations yet to receive the light of truth for this time. The gospel message is to be exalted and is to become far-reaching. In every place where the message is proclaimed, missionary workers are to go forth with their Bibles in their hands. Souls are to be converted and established in the truth. A meeting house is to be built. Light is to shine forth from the believers, who are to be as a city set on an hill. The church is to be in that place a witness to what the truth can do. The Lord has given me instruction that this is the way in which the work is to be carried forward. But if the means is used in accordance with man's wisdom, the work that should be done will be left undone. God will hold those accountable who have advised men and women to do a work which has hindered the work of bringing men and women to a knowledge of the truth. Work like the work that has been done in Chicago binds up the Lord's money and the talents of His workers, so that the memorials He designs shall be erected are not erected. God calls upon His people to awake and give the trumpet a certain sound. The Lord has declared that sanitariums are His means of reaching the higher classes. Upon the sanitarium in Battle Creek rests a heavy responsibility. The Lord has given this institution success and blessing. Let not the money earned by it be spent according to one man's mind and judgment. The funds of this sanitarium are to be used in making plants in countries where the principles of health reform are not known. The gospel of truth is to include the principles of health reform. People are to be taught that suffering may be relieved without the use of poisonous drugs, which leaves a baleful influence on all who use them. Those who conduct our sanitariums must be instructed by the Lord at every step, else they will enter into enterprises which will retard the work to be done in these institutions. The gospel of truth is to be forced upon no one, but it is not to be extinguished. It is to be a living, working principle, controlling and guiding. The work throughout our sanitariums should bear the signature of God. Managers and directors should keep jealous guard over the religious life of the institution, lest strange movements be made. The physician should not be called upon to manage the financial interests. This part of the work should be entrusted to a faithful, capable man, who is as true as steel to the principles of truth. The strictest justice must be done to all who act as helpers in the institution. And in turn, the helpers are to act their part faithfully, according to their several ability. Each one is to keep the fear of the Lord before him, realizing that he is responsible to God for the faithful performance of his work. The earnings of the sanitarium are to be used in making plants in new territories. No one man is to expend the funds accumulated by the sanitarium in purchasing unnecessary facilities for the institution. The institution is not to become an all-absorbing object to hinder the work of sending the truth to other countries. The sanitarium is to be the Lord's memorial, a witness to the efficacy of the truth. Those who come to the institution are to see that in it, the fear of the Lord is known to be the beginning of wisdom. When the banner of truth is no longer the honored, respected banner of the institution, the Lord will withdraw from the institution his keeping power.